want to read verses 1 through 4, Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. And that's where we're going to stop. And Paul goes on and lists some others, friends of his and fellow workers of his. But this is important, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the music tonight. It brought back so many memories, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Mark. Father, we just thank you for the word that we're about to receive tonight. I pray that you open our hearts and our eyes and see the truth that it lies within these words, even though they are short. And Father, I just thank you for what we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's two lessons I see in these few short verses. They tell us that we need to accept and appreciate our friends, not only for their ministry, but for their help in every way. Take a look around you guys. It's not happenstance that we're here together now. We've become friends over the years, and just shortly have new people here that we've just become friends. And it's been wonderful coming to know them and seeing them get involved in the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So we need to be appreciative. And we need to accept one another. That's been the lessons that we've learned so far. In fact, we were just back in 15. In verse 7, it says, therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And that's the way we're supposed to accept each other also. Of course, a lot of us still have baggage that we're dragging around. We've got to look over that stuff. We've just got to get a look over it. We're friends for a reason, and God had his hand in it. It's not, like I said, it's not happenstance that we're here together tonight. It's not. God has put us together for a purpose and a reason. Here we are in Sarita, Arizona, new building. He's already opened up doors for us. He's already provided some new ministries that has taken place. And you're just seeing a phenomenal growth within our church. And it's all because the love that God has for each and every one of us. And he has put us together for this purpose. And that is to see this part of the body grow. Okay, here in Sarita. I know our pastor has a vision that one of these days we're going to have a bus driver who's going to go around and pick up people who need to come to church that can't make it. I heard that a long time ago from him. So that's going to take place one of these days. But in these scriptures here, that these two lessons are learned, that we need to accept and appreciate the ministries of others, and how we can help each other also. So let's go ahead and look at let's find out who Phoebe is. There's not much that's written about here. In fact, here in Romans 16, it's the only place that her name is mentioned. But as we see, we find out that she is a servant of the church, which is what it says in verse 1. In some instances, that word service, I believe it's in the Greek, service means deaconess. But here in this translation, more than likely it means just helper, as Paul says right here in this translation, that she was a helper. Okay, so we see that she was at the church. She was a servant at the church at Caesarea, which is a southern port of Corinth, and we are instructed that we should receive her, or the letter that this letter is going to, that they are to receive her in a manner of the saints. No difference. No difference. So the church is supposed to receive her. And that's the way we're supposed to be with one another and to new people who come into our church, that we receive them in that manner also. It's very, very vital for our health, our spiritual health. Okay? And he goes on, he says in verse 2, he says, and that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you. So we see, help her in her needs, okay? In whatever she needs. And that applies to anyone that the Lord has brought into our presence, okay? And it goes on, he goes on and says that she was a helper, not only to the church, but also to Paul himself. Now, the only things that I could find on her that was written, which like I said, is not too much, her name means bright and radiant. It's suspected that she was a wealthy lady in the church and that she supported ministry and also Paul's ministry. According to the, and she was also the one that delivered this letter to the church in Rome. That's the only thing I could find that was ever written about her. Okay? So, like I said, as Paul instructs the church to receive her in this manner, it's pretty important. Pretty important. And we are to do the same thing with new people that come into our church too. Receive them as Jesus teaches us. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. The same way. No other, you know. I know we like to prejudge. That's a fault of ours because the Lord instructs us not to do that. But we still have, like I said, we still have spiritual problems because of our flesh. So let's go on. Let's find out who Priscilla and Aquila are. The first mention of them is in Acts 18, 1 through 3. So if you'll turn over there, Acts 18, 1 through 3. I may be slurring my words a little bit more tonight because of the... Yeah. Slurring your ears. Now somebody help me here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Paul is going to Corinth now. Because of where he's at, they've expelled the Jews from that part of the country, right? And he's going into Corinth, and here he finds, he's going to Corinth, and he finds Aquila, and it says in verse 2, and it says that a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius and the commander commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, so he came to them here in Corinth. Okay, so they're there, and so this is the first time that Paul has an encounter with Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, and look in verse 3, and it says, and because he was of the same trade, remember what Paul's trade was, the tent maker. Okay. He stayed with them, and they were working, so they worked together, for by trade they were tent makers. So here Priscilla and Aquila opened their home up to Paul, and then he also enters into his employment, his occupation. He's entering into the same occupation with Aquila. And they're working together to build tents, okay, so they can support their family, and Paul can support himself also. But we see in verse 4 that Aquila was found in the synagogue every Sabbath trying to persuade the Jews and Greeks, okay? So that tells us that Aquila was and Priscilla were evangelists, just like Paul, or missionaries. It was the same. They probably, more than likely, what I could find on them, they were probably saved before Paul was. And they had already started their missionary journeys also. So we see that they're of the, you know, they have the same mind, same heart, same desire Same Holy Spirit, and it's leading. He's leading them, and so we see Aquila in the synagogue, persuading Jews and Greeks. So when it goes on in verse 5, but when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. So we see that that this period of time that Paul is with Aquila and Priscilla at their home, he's engaging in employment. And when Silas and Timothy come, then he devotes himself entirely to the word, okay? And we need to encourage that in one another too. When we come together as friends in Christ and friends in Jesus, we need to encourage one another also to stay in the word. That's something that we learned, remember last week, to encourage one another, to remain, to warn one another, to admonish one another. That's very important in our lives. And it brings us, it makes us stronger in Christ when we are all of the same mind as Jesus. If we're not, then we're just boom, buckshot over here, a miss over here, a hit over here, and before you know it, people are getting discouraged, and some of the words you hear come out of their mouths is hypocrites, things like that, and we don't ever want to hear that. I know we want to hear, you ought to meet those people down there in Sarita for the love that they have for one another. That's what needs to be seen and be seen all the time. So it's important that we appreciate and accept one another. And no matter how, where we think we are in Christ, okay? Because I know when I first started out as a new believer, I thought of myself as being pretty lowly, not knowing a thing about Jesus, about, you know, how to grow or anything like that. But I was fortunate to have someone come along and grab me and say, let me teach you about my Lord and show you and instruct you. Like I said, I was fortunate, but there's a lot that are not that fortunate. And it's a shame. Because I remember at one time in my life, I got so discouraged after being born again that I was willing to walk away from it. The attraction of sin was even stronger before I was even saved. It was even stronger at that time after I was saved. It wanted to draw me back to where I was, and even worse. But like I said, thank God that somebody came alongside and was willing enough to put his arm around me and say, hey, Let me show you. Let me show you the true Jesus. And I'm glad he did. Learned so much from him and from his wife also. Great teachers in our church at that time. So, where was I? So we know that, when Paul came to them, they had the same type of lifestyle. They had the same type of employment, the same desire as missionaries and evangelists to save their countrymen first, the Jews. And then we find out later that Paul went to the, if you go down to verse 6, we find out that Paul went on to the Gentiles after that. Now we found out that they were evangelists, like I said, and they gave great comfort to Paul while he was there. He lacked nothing. He was amply supplied while he was there. So it was a great thing for Paul, especially after all the discouragement and stuff that he was receiving in Rome, even from his own brothers, from the Jews in the church. They were out to get him, as you well know. So we need to always, when we come together, to come together in love, and let that love show the appreciation that we have for one another. It's like I said, it's vital in our spiritual growth. I hate to say this, but it takes a while to let it. I mean, it's hard to do when you first meet somebody. Usually, it's just a handshake, right, Rob? Ron? It's usually just a handshake. I remember the first time I saw him, and I said, "Hi, how you doing? I'm Gary. You know, I'm Ron." And next thing I know, he's at our men's breakfast and just starting to get to know him. And I'm glad we did. I'm glad he's here because he has some gifts that are needed in our church, as some of you know, and he is willing to give them too. But he has to wait. Pastor is going to father you, so listen to Dad now. So that's what we need. That's what these lessons in this last part in Romans 16 about how we should appreciate and accept each other in our ministry for each other. Now, as we go on, we see something else about Priscilla and Aquila. They're found, if you go to verse 24 in 18, it says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian of birth, and an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John." So we see Priscilla and Aquila taking him aside, okay, in verse 26. "And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." So what they did was they introduced Jesus to him. Apollo only knew the baptism of John and why he was taught that way, and that was for repentance. Paul also runs into 12 apostles that he comes... we'll just read it, okay? Let's go on here. Paul comes across two guys. Let me just read it. Verse 19, okay? "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'No, we have not even heard whether there was a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Unto what then were you baptized?'" That is the most incredible question that you'll find in the entire Bible. "Into what were you baptized? And they said, 'Into John's baptism,' which was the baptism of repentance." And that's what Apollos was teaching here at this church, okay, in this synagogue. And that's when Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and admonished him and corrected him and gave him a better tool. And that tool was, of course, the Holy Spirit in Jesus, okay? And so we see how important our ministry is to one another. Like we instructed last week, or last time I taught on admonishing, don't be ashamed at all to warn your brother or sister when you see them, you know, not walking in the Spirit, okay? It's okay. Do it. It's what our Lord wants us to do with one another. So that's all I have for tonight on this teaching. And to finish up Romans, like I said, I've been praying. I don't know. The Lord has not instructed me on where to go yet next, so I'm still waiting. And I know He will. But first, let me go back. Let's go back to Romans 14. These are just some of the things that we went through here recently about how to glorify God. Okay? Go to Romans 14. This is where it kind of started. It starts out in verse 1. It says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." So there's the beginning of it. That was the beginning of it. That's how we accept one another, okay? Accept those that are weak in faith, but not for judgment, not for judgment. So it starts out, that glorifies God when we do that. Look at verse 19 in the same chapter. "So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." This is vital. This is vital. Okay? This is how we glorify our Heavenly Father, that we build up one another. And also in Romans 15, verse 1 and 2, Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. There again, the Lord's instructing us. And if we do this, we glorify our Heavenly Father. Any questions so far? Verse 7 and 15. I've repeated this one two or three times already. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. There again, glorifying our Heavenly Father. And then also verse 14. This is what we learned a couple of weeks ago. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. In other words, to warn one another. All right? So this also, we will glorify our Heavenly Father when we do these things. And in verse 16, to accept and appreciate one another. This also glorifies our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we thank you for the word that we have received. We thank you for your instruction, Lord, in our lives. Father, may we be men and women about your word, learning more and more how to please you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these words that you have given to us. May they be in our hearts forever. May we never differ from them. May they never leave us, Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.